Hallelujah. Welcome, first-time visitors. Glad to have you. Hallelujah. Like I said, we're talking about making a decree. And decreeing is you use words. So what's Proverbs 18:21 say? The tongue can speak words that bring life or death. Those who love to talk must be ready to accept what their words bring. Our words are powerful. Amen. Our words carry much authority. Look to Mark 11:23. For assuredly, this is Jesus speaking, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. I like that. He will have whatever he says. We will have whatever we say. Amen. Amen. You get that?
Yes,
words. So don't speak about your mountain. Speak to that mountain that's in front of you. You can bring that mountain down. You can cast it into the sea. And when it goes into the sea, as Brother Copeland said, why does it go into the sea, Lord? Because when it goes in and it sinks, you can't see it no more. Amen? We can speak to the mountain with the authority of a king. Yeah. King Jesus I'm talking about there. Because, see, we are king's kids. Say, I'm a king's kid.
I'm a king's kid.
But when you look at verse 22, right before that, what Jesus said, have faith in God. Well, the literal translation of that in the Greek is have the God kind of faith. And we do. We do. Romans 12:3 says, God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. He has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Gave us all the same amount of faith. But it's what we do with the faith that we have. You build that and you use your faith and your faith will get stronger and stronger and stronger. See, but you got to use it. We all had the same faith. Well, he said, man, you can see what that person does? Because he worked on his faith. Y'all work on your faith. The stronger your faith gets, the more trust you put in the Lord. Not in man.
Yeah.
Now, we look to Job 22. Job chapter 22. The book of Job is the oldest book in the Bible. And its author was none other than Moses. He was one of the greatest leaders in world history. Moses understood a thing or two about authority. He was trained to be a Pharaoh. He was raised in Pharaoh's house. And he understood authority language. He wrote down for us a powerful principle in Job in verse 28. That reinforces the dominion mandate that he wrote about in Genesis chapter 1. And it says, this is the Amplified Classic Edition. You shall also decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you. And the light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways. Decree a thing. And it will be established for you. Because God is the one who establishes it. See, this scripture is a powerful attestment to the power of spoken words. When we decree and declare according to God's word, we are operating in our dominion authority and activating the power. Simply put, to decree or declare something is to powerfully speak it into existence. Now, in Job 22, look at verses 21 and 23. And I'm reading, my version here is the voice. It says, "Now be of use to God. Be at peace with Him. And goodness will return to your life." Sounds like a good idea. "Receive instruction directly from His lips and make His words a part of you." How do you do that? Well, Joshua 1:8, what's it say? "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. You shall be constantly in the Word." Now, I know of someone who was told they were going to see a secular counselor for help. And this individual went up to the person having to counsel, and she said, "You know, I want to let you know that I read my Bible once a week." And the counselor said, "That's really great. That's all you'll need to do." And when I heard that, I went, no, you got that wrong. It says, meditate in it day and night. Once a week ain't going to do it. If you only do it once a week, you're going to be weak. You got to spend time in the Word. But I thought that was interesting. See, the secular people have no idea the power that's in the Bible, that's in the words, the written Word here. And then when we take it and speak it, we make it rhema. We speak it. Let me finish that scripture, okay? "That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it." Ah, key. "That you may observe and to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success." It didn't say God was going to do it. It said you are. Because you got the manual. Now follow the manual, and you will have good success. And you can only follow it if you get into it daily. Job 22, verse 23, though, says this: "If you return to Almighty God, the highest one, you will be restored. If you banish the evil from your tent." They banish the evil from your tent, says. We must do this. We need to seek out God, and we got to get the evil out. 2 Chronicles 7:14. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, one, and pray, two, and seek my face, three, and turn from their wicked, evil ways, four." Then he says, "I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land." We must turn from those wicked ways. And don't be moved by what you see or what you're hearing, because that'll just take your emotions on a roller coaster ride. And everybody, if they're not strapped in, could get thrown out. And you get strapped in through the Word. I'm just telling you, don't back off your praying. You've got to press on even more right now with what's going on. We can see what's happening with the abortion issue. They're trying to circumvent everything around it. And they're not going to win. They're not going to win. God is on the move. He's doing things in this nation right now. But you got to be aware of them. And you aren't going to hear this kind of reports. Listen to the mainstream news. It's just not going to happen. Because they are not telling the truth. The truth needs to get out. And it is getting out more and more and more each and every day. But the effectual fervent prayer of righteous men and women avails much, is what Scripture tells us in James. James 5:16. But Job 22, 27 and 28, this is the voice version. When you pray to Him, He will listen. You will make good on your promises to Him. How many of you have made promises to God? If you just do this, Lord, then you'll see me at church on Sunday. And then you don't go to church on Sunday. That was just a simple one. I'll let you know. Verse 28. You will pronounce something to be, and He will make it so. Light, God's favor, will break out across all of your paths. If you pronounce something to be, He will make it so. Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18 and 19, He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The church is victorious. And we are the church. We are the ecclesia, the governed reigning body of Christ here in His kingdom that He left us to watch over when He went to heaven. Verse 19 says this, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The keys to the kingdom of heaven. Ready? A no on earth is a no in heaven. A yes on earth is yes in heaven. If it's a yes in heaven, it's a yes here. You get what I'm saying? And if it's a no in heaven, it's a no here as well. Not the other way around. So you got to get the keys so the keys can fit the slot so that it can unlock things for us. Prayer is decreeing a purpose, the reason for which something is done or created or for which something exists that God can make so. Decreeing, along with knowing how the keys work and fit, these principles we must remind ourselves of often because the world seeks to take the church, the people, in different directions. The world's government, the New World Order, the World Economic Forum, just letting you know who the world's government is, and our nation's government, the media and all its different formats, and of course, hell's kingdom. They hate the message of the ecclesia. See, we are the ruling, reigning, governing body of Christ, the ecclesia. We are to rule and reign with Jesus now. Satan doesn't want us to know that. He doesn't want us to believe that. And he uses governments to try, see what I said? Try and control the church. See, if you know and understand this because it has been dispensationalized by many into something that's in the future somewhere, not to be done right now. If you understand the true purpose of God's sons and daughters, the called out ones, that's us, the called out ones, the church. Especially because that's Jesus, the one who established us as the church, the called out ones. We need to be reminded of some things because we can change and disciple a nation. If we do, our personal lives are going to succeed at much higher levels. Promises that God and Holy Spirit have made to us can be individually and corporately activated. He can bring them to pass, and all of hell's gates hate that message. Literally hate the message. If we do not engage ourselves in a conscious way with these principles daily, they can drift out of our mind so easily. We've got to have these principles freshly believed into or breathed into our awareness, freshly ignited into our spirit, man, so that we are part of this and have a greater conscious awareness of it. Many in the body have allowed what God's Word teaches us to be in memory only. What a shame. It is not a conscious activity for many. The principles of faith, authority, and decree of God's Word need to be reemphasized, restated, and taught again and again and again and again and again. Because you don't get it the first time for some reason. And that's so that we can start to do them. We are in a time and a season when we clearly need to do what the Word of God tells us to. We need to be working the Word because the Word works. Our nation and the world are divided and crumbling because the church and millions of Christians are not doing their assignment. Our nation and the world that most of us grew up with is coming apart at the seams. And that's because much of the church has not been doing what God says. We have to be doers of the Word. What James 1:22 say? But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. I like the way the NIV reads it. It says, do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Allow the Holy Spirit to activate this in you. Man, we got to quit using duct tape and get into the rebuilding, you know? And I'm a great fan of duct tape, but there's a time, place when duct tape don't work no more. You got to rebuild it. In Job 22:28, you will also decree a thing and it will be established for you, and God's favor will shine on your ways. We decree that we are receiving fresh power from an open heaven. Enabling power, we say, come. Creative power, come. Tipping power, come. Wonder-working power, come. Miracle-working power, we are to say, come. Ruling, reigning power, come. Power of God, come into us. We declare it is upon us corporately and individually as believers. We declare God's seed is in us and is activating itself right now. Favor and decrees of faith go hand in hand. We decree things by faith. An example, Alexander Dowie's translation in the of the Hebrew to the English here, okay, and it says, thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall come to thee, and light shall shine on your ways. See, this is an excellent translation of the Hebrew language here. Decree something, and it will come to you. Are you getting that? Okay. You will decree something to be, and God will make it so. This, of course, is referring to authority language, the language of kings. The word for decree in the Hebrew is the Hebrew word gasar. And it means to decide and purpose. It is used many times in the Hebrew Old Testament meaning to divide, to sever, or to cut off. For example, gasar is the word used at the Red Sea. It says the Red Sea was cut off. Moses stood on the bank of the Red Sea and he spoke with authority. He used kingly language and put the dominion mandate into an active form, a bold command. He raised the rod of authority and literally said to the sea, separate, divide, open. And it did. It miraculously did. We have been given authority to declare things, to open and to close. Open things with your decrees. That's what that's saying. We are to open things with the decrees that we speak. You shall declare a thing, and it shall be established unto you. Moses says that what you purpose, you must put into words of command. Decree them, speak them, and they will be established unto you. Speak like a king's kid. Speak like you are a joint heir with King Jesus, because you are. You've been adopted in. We ought to see it, right? That's the word for that. And you have exactly the same rights as Jesus does, because that's the type of adoption that took place there. We ought to see it. Speak with the authority Jesus gave us in His name. It's all about the name. It's all about the name. Ask the seven sons of Sceva. Hallelujah. You got to know the name. What did the Spirit say to them, boy? Jesus I know and Paul I know, because I know where Paul stands in them. You boys, And they got a butt whooping that day. That's all I'll say. We got to come into alignment with the dominion mandate of God that was presented to us at the beginning in Genesis. In other words, in Jesus' name, we are to gasar, sever and cut off. Sever and cut off the attacks of hell with your bold words of authority. Command demons to go. I said, command him to go. You're not supposed to ask them. You ought to command them. Tell them to hit the road. You don't have to put up with them. You don't have to listen to them. You have the authority. You have the authority in the name of Jesus, see. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And then what we are supposed to do, we are supposed to command healing to come. We are to command revival to come. We are to command a harvest to come. We are to speak with authority, with the kingly language, because we're king's kids. The principle of decreeing is present in the book of Esther. Esther was a part of the king's household, and she was the king, the queen. Now, a king has signed an evil decree against God's people. Now, he actually didn't sign it. He let somebody else write it, use his name and his signet ring. Okay? So, but it, once it was made, it was a decree, and it was unchangeable. Back then, was unchangeable. It was by a wicked man by the name of Haman. Remember him? You can turn to Esther chapter 8, because I want you to see a scripture there in the New King James when we get there. It came to my attention that we needed to hear that, hear this scripture read to you right from here. But Haman, he became part of the government, and the king actually gave him his signet ring to use. That's how he wiggled himself in there is a whole nother story. Well, he conspired with others to have an evil law passed, and we know that he got it written up. Still, then the king said, okay, whatever, you made me all these promises with that to give me so much money, so much gain. And he said, you got the signet ring, make it so. Okay, made it so. King wasn't paying attention to it. He just knew it was going to add money into his kingdom. And somehow or another, he was convinced it was going to protect him. It was better for him to get rid of the Jews than let them live amongst the people because they followed God's law. They followed God's law. They weren't going to follow. They would do what the king said as long as the king didn't mess with them in their area. As long as they don't mess with the church, I guess. But see, the church has to be active in what's going on. All right. That's a little side thing for you there. But the law stated that on a certain day, anyone could kill any Jew they wanted to kill and confiscate all their property. The goal was to annihilate God's people, to absolutely remove them from the face of the earth. Now, if you remember, there was a guy by the name of Mordecai, Uncle Mordecai, and Queen Esther. Well, they were called upon to reverse this evil decree. And we read, it's a fascinating story, the whole book. It don't take you long to read the whole account of Esther. Take time today and read Esther. It won't take you that long. But you'll see that, you know, what we have here in this story shows us the power of delegated authority and legal authority given to someone else and used in the giver's name. It's delegated, but it's real authority. My wife has taught Esther. I have taught Esther. And I never realized this because there's so much to be aware of what the Bible has for us to learn from. And I never saw this before. Maybe you have. But this is something that really got to me now because I've learned more about decreeing and how powerful our words are through the decrees we make. And I say that because we need to pay close attention to how we use our words. The word decree used 10 times throughout the book of Esther. 9 times the word decree is translated of the Hebrew word dath, D-A-T-H. But Esther's decree that she makes, and that's only one time, and it is Hamah. It is used only one time, and that's in Esther 9:32. So the decree of Esther confirmed the matters of Purim, and it was written in the book. She gave a command. She gave a command that confirmed that. Because that was the holiday that they named it. So when you look on your calendar and it says P-U-R-I-M, now you know what that holiday, that day represents. The day that things got turned around for the Jews. Because they were not annihilated. In fact, they had the victory. Because somebody was called upon to make a decree. Somebody was called upon to make a decree. See, because doth is used 9 times, and it means a statute or an edict, a law, a command, a prescription, or legislation. Are you getting with today? Legislation, statutes, laws. Ma'amar means something spoken by authority. It refers to king's language or royal edict. King's language, authority language, was given to Mordecai and to Esther to reverse legislation, laws, and government action. Now, like I said, I wanted you to go to Esther 8, but I want you to look. You look down here after Haman. Now, he was exposed. Okay. And when she exposed him as the evil that he was, the king was mad. He goes out to the garden. And Haman now, he realizes what just happened. And he goes over and starts laying all over the queen, begging her, please, pleading for his life. King walks back in. Doesn't look good for Haman, does it? Mm-mm. He says, I can't even walk out. And there you are, what you're doing to my wife, the queen. Well, they hung him from the gallows that he had made for Mordecai. They hung him. And the king gave all of the household to Esther and to Mordecai. But she didn't stop there. She got on her knees and started crying to the king to reverse what was written in that law. And she cried, and he reached out his scepter. Now, and then she says, you've got to rewrite this and do that. You've got to make amends for what is about to happen. Because the whole country is going to revolt on the Jews in their communities and annihilate them. And they're my people. I'm a Jew. Mordecai's a Jew. And he thought so much of Mordecai at that time. He said, Mordecai, here, I took this from Haman. He gave him the signet ring to wear. Signet ring. Get that? There's authority in that ring, right? He said, you can use my name. And you can seal it. Use my name, he said. And in verse 8, this is what I want you to get. Listen. He didn't do anything. But what did he tell Esther and Mordecai? You yourselves write a decree concerning the Jews, as you please, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's signet ring, for whatever is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet ring, no one can revoke. No one can stop it. So listen, you yourselves write a decree. I'm talking to you, because that's what it's done. I said, wait a minute. We can write our own decrees. We can write our own decrees over what we're dealing with. Right? You write the decree yourselves. Just as you please. And you do it in the king's name. Whose name are we writing it in? That's right. King Jesus. And we seal it when we say his name. So that's why when we make a decree, we make it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen? Does that scripture mean a little bit more to you than it did to me before? I mean, I was like, wait a minute. You yourselves write a decree. We've been learning so much about decreeing, I think we're missing the importance of it with the name of it. So we don't waste our time making decrees. That's why there's a couple books that are out on decreeing by Brenda Kuhneman, and I highly recommend you get a copy of one of them. That was one there this morning for the tithe. Shirley read one 2 weeks ago, was it? That she read one? There is power in our decrees that we make in the name of Jesus. And you can write your own decree to the Lord. That's what I'm trying to say here. Authority to decree against and change evil laws was given to them and is given to us. The same thing. As the king's heirs on earth, we have been restored to use authority language. We have been restored to speak with royal dominion. We have received authority in Jesus' name to stop evil statutes and laws and to decree God's statutes as his kings, as king's kids. We are to decree statutes, laws, ways, and will of our Lord God. We are here to declare God's statutes over our lives, over our assignments, and over our nation. As joint heirs with Christ, we are here to rule and reign in this life using authority language. Muhammad, release words of power and authority and make kingly declarations so God can make them so. I'm going to put that as you because I want it to be personal. You are to decree and give orders of declaration and they will be established to you. God will make them so. He will make it happen. He made it happen. July 4th, 1776. Called the Declaration of Independence. The unanimous declaration or decree of the 13 United States of America was written right on the beginning. They made a declaration. Hey, how many years have we been going now? 246. Most countries never got, I think one made it to 17 in their constitution and their declarations. But because we made it upon the Lord made it so. He made it happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our forefathers were guided by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit played a big part in writing our Declaration of Independence, our Constitution. And then we had the Bill of Rights. Because we the people, we made declarations and we made pleas to God Almighty and things were changed. If there wasn't an agreement made that they would make those amendments before they were even written, that Constitution we have may have never been signed. There was a greater awareness to knowing that there was flaws in the original Constitution that needed amended. And God made sure he amended them. Because if we didn't have some of the freedoms that we have in that Bill of Rights, we'd be hurting right now. We'd be hurting right now. I like what them Dutch farmers are doing. They ain't putting up with it no more over there. Mm-mm. They went in and sprayed them buildings down with all that fresh cow manure. Liquid cow manure. I don't know if you saw that. That was awesome. People were filming it and laughing at it. They blocked all the streets. They arrested all these protesters who were complaining because of what they're doing with trying to tell them, well, you can only have so many cows, you know, because of the methane gas that they put out, because of this and that. And all. Hey, wait a minute. You're taking our livelihood. You're taking all this away. Like, don't worry. They weren't putting up with it, them farmers. I liked it. They made a stand. They literally arrested all these protesters. You know what all the farmers did? They went in, blocked the whole city up with their tractors. And then they went and surrounded the police station and said, let them out. They said, let them out. We want them out now. You know what they did? They let them out. But see, that was the only thing they could do. They don't have any guns because they took their rights. They took their guns off of them people. They took their guns off of them. But they made enough noise and enough ruckus. They let them people out. Where was the United States when they took January 6th people in? Huh? Where were we? Where were we? We should be setting the example. Are they taking an example that we used to do years ago and now we've fallen asleep? We need to wake up. We have a voice. We are the church. We are the ecclesia. We have to make sure that we are involved. Until we decree a thing with our mouths, it is seed that remains in a dormant state. So we need to start decreeing, start seeding and planting the heavens and the earth, and it's time to decree what God says. What God says matters because it will work. And we know all things will work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Right. We decree that strongholds over our nation are being broken. Spiritual giants that oppose our nation and around the earth are now falling. Number two, we decree that God has amazing grace available for America. We decree that God's amazing grace is sufficient. Fresh winds of revival are blowing. Nations and governments will be reformed. The spirit of Jezebel is coming down. We bind the spirit of fear, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and self-control. We bind the spirit of timidity over the righteous, for the righteous are bold as lions. We decree that Christ's ecclesia is boldly speaking out with authority language. See, we decree that. Amen. Say this with me. I am anointed by the Holy Spirit to release declarations of breakthrough. I have the power to shape my world by the words I speak. I will open my mouth and decree what God says. And things will shift and change for me. I will decree my promises and they will be established for me. And God's favor will shine on all my ways. Amen. Now, I want you to make sure when you go home today, you read the Watchman Decree. Now, this is over our country. And when this was done at Flashpoint, it was awesome. And if you didn't go back and see that, remember, you can go back in there and look at it. It's on govictory.com/Flashpoint. And you can bring it up and see what happened that night when they read this. It was awesome. And as we do this each and every day, this is a decree over our nation. I like that. And the last decree on that page, I'll read it because I know you've been here a long time today, folks. It says, and we decree, say this together, and we decree that America shall be saved. Amen. God bless all of you. I thank you for listening. Hallelujah.